This is 24. Let me preach a few moments on behold, the camels are coming. Genesis 24. This is the marriage of Isaac. And in verse 1, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Notice verse 2, Genesis 24, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I'll make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. Now, folks, here you have a beautiful picture of God the Father sending God the Holy Ghost into this earth to call out a bride for his son Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Isaac. Beautiful, beautiful picture. And we'll not go into all these scriptures. I would like you to look down in verse 15. Now in verses 12 through 15, God told Eliezer, who is not named, who is a type of the Holy Ghost, when he's come, he'll glorify Jesus, not himself. But in verses 12 through 14, he told him how he could identify the little maiden when she comes, which would be Rebecca. Verse 15, and it came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebecca came out. Rebecca came out. Now God told him, said, you'll be able to identify her, because she'll want not only to water your camels, but she'll just want to water everything around here. That's like a believer, and they get saved, honey. They just flow over and flow out. And he said, you'll know her by that. But I want you to notice her name. It says, and it came to pass before you had done speaking that behold, Rebecca. Now the word Rebecca means captivating. Captivating. And I'm glad, ladies and gentlemen, that the church is captivating. And not only is it captivating, but we have been captured by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that verse in Corinthians where it says, the love of God constraineth us. The love of God constraineth us. That word constraineth there means to consume with a fever, to burn fervently. When God's love came to us through the office work of the Holy Ghost, God captured us. We became overwhelmed and overtaken with the love of God. And no wonder the Song of Solomon said, because of this attention that the bridegroom had given the bride, she said, I'm lovesick. I'm sick of love. I'm lovesick. She said, I'm just lovesick. Do you ever get lovesick? Honey, it makes you do the strangest things on earth if you get lovesick. Now, this is what happened. She was lovesick. God began to move on her. And it says Rebecca came out. Isn't that what the Holy Ghost came to do? To call the church out? So Rebecca came out. And the moment she came out, she was identified. So we're the called out ones. Now there's other scriptures we'd like to take up. But I want you to notice now, if you go back to verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his house were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. All right, and he made his camels to kneel down. Kneel down. Now the secret word in Genesis 24 is camels. That's the secret word, the word camel. That's the word that will open the whole chapter to you, because it's a type of the grace of God. The word camel is a type of the grace of God. And he said he made the camels to kneel down. Now then, the camels is a picture of the Holy Ghost coming to get the bride, and grace always kneels. A lot of folks say, well, I'm too wicked to be saved. I'm too mean to be saved. I'm too low down. You can't go lower in grace. When you get to the bottom, grace will be there waiting for you. And grace, hallelujah. I don't care how low you've gone, grace was down there waiting for you when you got there. And grace always kneels so you can get on. Always, grace kneels so you can get on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if I'd had to climb on, I couldn't have got on. How can a poor, dead, weak, unclean, undone, totally depraved sinner, how can he get on anything? The only thing he can do is stink, and I couldn't get on anything, but grace came to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you folks have to excuse me if I act just a little bit peculiar, because it's a running whale down in here. Praise the Lord. All right, now then, we find that he sent the camels, and he took 10 of them. Why did Eliezer, who's the type of the Holy Ghost, why did he take 10 camels? Well, why didn't he take 9? Well, why didn't he take 11? 9's a number of judgment. It's also a number of the Spirit, but 9's a number of judgment. God didn't send him to judge her. He sent him to redeem her. Well, why didn't he take 11? 11's a number of disintegration and disorder and confusion, so God didn't come to children to disgrace the church. He came to redeem it. So 10 in the Bible is a number of what? It's a number of completion. It is a number of completion. It's double grace, twice grace. A lot of folks say, well, I don't believe God could save me, honey, if first grace don't do it. He's got some more. He's always got grace, grace sufficient. But now then, we find that these camels came, and they knelt down, just like he ordered. And you can imagine that little maiden when she saw all these fellows came in off of the desert. They crossed that Mesopotamian desert over 500 miles. And they've been out there in the sand and the storms. And you can imagine how their face looked, full of that beard, full of sand, and their eyebrows and their eyelashes full of sand, and those turbans around their head. The average person would have run like a turkey. Said that, bless God, there's a bunch of robbers over here. They've scared me to death. I'm going home. But I'll tell you right now, children, when grace undertakes, God takes the fear out, and man is so desperate to be saved, all of the fear of those things that would have destroyed him, they become a stepping stone to him into the arms of Jesus. But now I want you to look at these camels, and I want you to think about them. Now, camels are a strange thing. It's a type of grace. The camel's a type of grace, and God made the camel to cross the desert. You couldn't cross the desert on a horse. It wouldn't be long. He'd be tired out, and he'd die. You send an ox across, he'd mire up in the sand, he'd die. You send a jackass, and he'd bray himself to death. Get stuck up in the sand, he couldn't make it. You say, well, it would send a mule. He'd die, the little old feet of his. You know, there's three things God didn't make. God didn't make the devil. God didn't make a mule, and he didn't make a sinner. You say, why'd you say a mule? A mule's a crossbreed, honey. It's a hybrid, and it can't reproduce. Everything God created, he made it to reproduce. And that's why we've got a lot of hybrid churches today. They can't reproduce nothing but hell. Brother, God fixed you to bring forth fruit. Amen. You see, I won't be back. I'll leave $20 where you're sitting, and I'll buy my wife a hamburger tomorrow. Yes, sirree. But I want you to know right now, brother, these camels, I feel God around here. Praise God, I'm telling you. Yeah, I feel God up there. Hallelujah. Yes, I do. I'm feeling you. Listen, folks, when I can think about what God's done for me, a poor, deluded, damn sinner, lost and helpless, God saved me. God sent grace, and God lifted me up. He did lift me up. He sent the camel of His grace. Now, I want you to look at the word camel. This is why God made the camel to cross deserts. You say, well, what about the old camel? Ladies and gentlemen, when God made the camel, He made it to cross deserts. He made it to cross deserts. That's why He padded its feet. He padded its feet. He didn't put a cloven hoof on it. It would have sunk in the sand. He didn't put spikes on His feet. It couldn't have made it. He made it a big pad on His foot. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a type of grace. The sand's a type of the world. Anything other than grace will sink in the world. But God fixed that camel with big padded feet, and he can't sink. I've been on camels. I always wanted to ride a camel. I was down in the city of Petra 2 or 3 years ago, and they had a camel. I said, I want to ride it. He said, it's $4. I didn't want to pay that. Too much. Too much to ride a camel. We finally got together for two. $2. When you go over there, all they say, one a muckandala, one a muckandala. He wanted four, too much to give you two. And I got a camel ride. But I want you to know now, folks, I didn't, listen, that camel, he was higher than my head. I couldn't get up there. Can you see this mountain preacher climbing a camel's leg, getting that thing with the tail trying to get up yonder? I couldn't do that. I couldn't make it. You say, how'd you get on? That old Arab went up and he whispered in his ear, psh, 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 psh. And that camel, honey, he looked like some sort of a construction thing folding up. He started folding up, and front legs went under, back legs went under. He came down, he went forward, he went backwards, and settled down. And a baby could have got on him. A baby could have got on him. Brother, God fixes so the least can get in by grace. Hey, God, grace. A baby, a child could have climbed up there. You say, what'd you do? I just turned around. I didn't climb. I didn't jump. I didn't work. I didn't sweat. I just sat down. I just sat down. I just sat down. I just sat down. That's all I did. And that's what happened when God saved me. I just sat down. You say, where'd you sit? I sat in the arms of Jesus. I sat in the arms of Jesus. Hung my feet out toward eternity. And said, goodbye world, goodbye. I'm going home to die no more, Ron. That's why God fixed it. And God's grace will get you through. Some of you out there, you got burdens, trials, problems, persecution, indebtedness, sickness, fears, anxiety. You can't carry them. But God fixed that old camel. When you get on, David, when you get on, David, when you get on, you put all your burden on. You put your load on. You put everything else on. Where'd my chair go? You, honey, when you get on, you put your burden on. You put your bags on. You put everything on. You put everything. That's water, better not too. Then you sit down. And you sit down. The camel, then, he pushes him in the ear. And I'll tell you when he starts up. That's when he gets, I'll tell you, you're going so high. See, a sinner's not used to living that high. But God said, we're seated in the heavenlies. We're seated in the heavenlies. Well, I'll tell you, when he starts up, brother, and he goes up, and you're sitting up yonder so high, you nearly shiver. She might have never been up here before. In that wonderful rally. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful where grace puts me? I'm seated in the heavenlies. Then it doesn't make any difference where my name's Astor Horse or Mr. Horse. It doesn't make any difference where I drive a Cadillac or get in a puddle jumper. It doesn't make any difference where I live on the right side of the tracks or the left side of the tracks. I'm seated in the heavenlies. My journey's short. I'm just passing through. It doesn't make any difference whether my name is Smith or Brown. It doesn't make any difference. I have a new name written down in glory. And it's mine, O Lord. And it's mine, O Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I tell you, I like this camel business. I ain't talking about Winston-Salem camels either. Amen. Well, I'm glad that old camel has got padded feet. That's a type of grace. It can't sink. I'll tell you, if you rest in the grace of God, you'll never go down. You'll never go down. There's a lot of things in this world will disappoint you. A lot of things will let you down, but grace won't. Grace won't. You can trust grace. You can ride grace. When that old camel got up, he took off. And you know, after a while, he got to trotting. I thought, well, man, you get on a horse and he trots, you got to sort of learn to ride a horse. Honey, you'll be sitting in the road. Rubbing you where it feels rough. All right, but listen, that old camel stood there. And you know, but it's just in little bitty got to float. I thought, isn't this wonderful? No wonder you can't get them fellows out of the desert. They enjoy riding them camels. All right, now, another thing about the camel. God fixed him with sharp teeth. Remember, he's type of grace. And God fixed him across the desert. This desert that we're in, this world is a desert. We're crossing it by grace. You can't go on your own. You'll have to go by the grace of God. So God he fixed that old camel with sharp teeth. You say, why? Because they run out of food out there. They run out of food. Then it's a matter of survival. It's a matter of survival. But God fixed that camel with a very thin jawbones, his mouth comes out real sharp, and he's got real sharp teeth. And when they run out of food, they can eat cactus. Well, now anybody's got any sense knows you can't get close to a cactus. You'll get stuck and get run. Man, you can't do it. But that camel can go in with those sharp teeth and that thin head and eat between those spikes and get food to sustain and water if he needs it. Now, isn't that a picture of grace? Brother, God will give you grace where the devil can't see it and the average Christian couldn't see it, and you'll be eating and feasting on the good things of God. Yes, you will. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think grace will get you through, honey. Amen. All right. Another thing about that old camel I like, children, when he waters up, when he fills up, honey, he's heading for the desert. And I'll tell you, some of them fellas can hold a lot of water. And you think of that little girl carrying enough water to water all them camels. Now think about it. And then offered water to all the men. Now I tell you, ordinarily, listen, the average person couldn't have done that. But grace has gone to work. Something's happened to her, brother. When grace goes to work, you can produce where before you couldn't. So grace has gone to work. Now then, God fixed that old camel when he's out there in the desert. And the sun shines down. It gets about 120 during the heat of the day. And the average person would just die. You couldn't walk. You could listen. If you tried to walk, you'd sink in that sand. It wouldn't be but a few minutes. You'd be having all sorts of visions or what is it have out there on the desert? A mirage. And you'll start eating sand, thinking it's water. But God fixed that old camel. That old camel. After he's exhausted all of his water, around his stomach is those little pouches of water, and when he's loaded up, he filled himself full of water, and then he filled those pouches, and after the last drop is drained, the devil says, I got you now. The camel tightens up on his stomach muscles, and all those little pouches squirts water out into his stomach, and he's good for another 200 miles. I like that squeezed out grace. I'll tell you, there ain't nothing like that. And listen, you have to get into a trial or a tribulation or a dark place or something like that. You have to go through a hard place for that squeezing grace goes to work. That squeezing grace, squeezing grace, squeezing grace. Here, David, bless God, squeezing grace. Squeezing grace, squeezing grace. I'll tell you, listen, I knew that Ralph was in that place. He needed some squeezing grace. And I was praying today, and the Holy Ghost got on me. He said, son, you go to Canapolis. I thought, Lord, I'd love to rest today. I'd love to sort of stay in. He said, you go to Canapolis. I thought, oh, Lord. And I called around. So I thought maybe he'd come on. And a little bit he called back. He said, I'm going and coming back. I knew God done put the clincher. And brother, I tell you right now, squeezing grace work tonight. Yes, sirree. As the mountaineers used to say, he squoze you. He squoze you. You say, I'm not used to that. Well, come up and see us sometime. All right, now look. God will make those pouches work when you think that there's no grace present. That's when the greatest time of your Christian experience will ever be. Brother, when you think everybody's against you, home problems, financial problems, church problems, you think, oh God, surely we've drained the barrel of grace. There's nothing left. Then, that's what Samson thought. He fought all day. He took a jawbone of a jackass. A jawbone of a jackass. And God said it was a new jawbone. God didn't take some old dry-eyed, crumply, half-hearted church member him fight with. God gave him a brand new jawbone. God run that old jack out there and let him die. He might have died the day before because over there the buzzards had picked him in a day and that would have been a good fresh jawbone. The brother looked out there and it was all those Philistines. Needing that squeezing grace he needed. Here's one man and there's all those enemies of God. And they're shouting obscenities against God and against Samson and against the God that he loved. Brother, I'll tell you, something kicked off in his bloodstream. The trumpet sounded and the drums beat. Praise God. And I'll tell you, brothers, the flag of God's eternal salvation flew up in his soul. The hair stood up on the back of his neck. And he said, you bunch of uncircumcised and heart devils, if you think I've been fighting back of this, you ain't seen nothing yet. He reached down, wrung that jawbone out of that jack's jaw. And brother, I'll tell you, he rolled his sleeve up and said, you can come all at once or one at a time because I'm a-coming after you. And honey, when the sun went down, he had them stacked like cordwood, far as you could see. And brother, he'd fought so long, they had to prize his hand off of it. I tell you, that's being dedicated to the job, isn't it? Don't you wish you had to prize some of your church members off of the knees and off of the job? Honey, the biggest job's getting them out of the devil's outfit. He was dedicated. Had to prize him loose from the job. And then he was human. He was so thirsty. He said, Lord, oh Lord, oh God, don't you care that I perish with thirst? Sitting there looking down. About that time he felt his feet getting cold. Oh, he said, God, if I could just, my feet's getting cool, if I just had some water. And then he felt something around his ankles. And then he heard something gurgling and a gushing. And he looked down. It was up to his thighs. Honey, that squeezing grace had done gone to work. Hallelujah. You see what happened? That God dug a well. God dug a spring in that jawbone. And out come waters that saved him. And God will take your trial and turn it into the thing to save you. You know what that word jawbone means over there in the book of Judges? You ever looked that up? Where David fought, or where Samson fought with that jawbone? You know what that jawbone means? It means Yahweh, or the Lord God Almighty, most vehement. And Yahweh means God in relation, covenant relation with His people. Blood washed. God in covenant relation with His children has sworn His own throne because He couldn't swear any higher that I've entered into a blood covenant and I cannot break my covenant and you're my child and you're in trouble and you're in need and I'm going to send you some squeezing grace. And the word jawbone, that word jawbone means Yahweh, or the covenant keeping God. Now you get it and it'll bless you. The word jawbone means the covenant keeping God has judged in the high place. And the word jawbone means high place. High place. And if you look in Isaiah chapter 41, 17 and 18, God said, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, then I will open rivers in high places. And the word open means to unlock. The water was there all the time. It just needed a key. God said, I'll open rivers in high places. Read it. Isaiah 41, 18. God said, I'll open rivers in high places. And the word high there means Yahweh, or the covenant-keeping God, has judged. Where did God judge? At the high place called Calvary. God judged Christ for us. And God opened a river of water. Hallelujah for that grace. And that's what we're talking about tonight. I'm getting my second wind. Praise the Lord. Some of you say, I wish you'd have stopped before you got your first. Yeah, but I didn't. Amen. And so the word camel, oh children, it's that squeezing grace. And then, let me say this, and we'll try to wind up on two or three thoughts or so here, whatever. Did you know recently in Israel, in studying the camel, those Jewish scientists discovered not only does the camel store water in himself and all those pouches, but they discovered recently that the camel, when he takes on water, he stores water in his bloodstream. You see why? Because children, that desert's hot, and God put him in a built-in thermostat to keep him cool. And then, bless God, when the time comes, he needs a little extra water. It's already in his blood, and the life is in the blood, and the water's in the blood. And praise God, if you ever see that, he'll do a sanctified dance. Praise the Lord. Now, just this. All right, when they found Rebecca, and she said, I'll go. And they put her on the camel and sent her nurse with her. That's her attendant. And they headed back into that desert, going back to Isaac. Now, she'd never seen, but they've started back on the camels. Now, the word camel itself, remember, is the type of grace. The word camel itself has got five letters. Five is the number of grace. All right? Then, children, the word camel itself, I challenge you to look up the definition of camel. Listen, you'll be happily surprised. First, it means grace. Grace. Number two, the word camel means burden barrier. Nobody could cross that desert unless somebody carried them and their burden. And you can't get through this sin-cursed, God-forsaken earth unless somebody carries you and your burden. And that's Jesus. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I feel like we ought to call a recess and run around the tent. Amen. And sing How Great Thou Art. I think we ought to have a little sanctified march, don't you? All right, now, the word camel also means to clothe upon. To clothe upon. Isn't that what grace did? Clotheth in the goodness of God. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we find, and I like this, the word camel means provision. God's grace provides whatever I need. That's why God told Moses, he said, I am. That he was letting Moses in on what grace was. He said, I am. And he quit right there. Moses said, I am what? He said, what do you need? What do you want? What do you desire? I am. I am what, God? What do you need, son? I am. I am salvation. I am sanctification. I am joy. I am assurance. I am blessing. Praise the Lord. I am whatever you need. That's why God told Abraham in Genesis 17, first verse, when God appeared the second time unto Abraham, he said, Abram, I am the Almighty God. Almighty God there means El Shaddai. That means God the provider or God the breasted one. God said, Abraham, from this day on, grace has come to work in your life. I'm entering into a blood covenant with you and Sarah. And now you're going to enter into the blood covenant. That's the type of the blood of Christ. And from this day on, all your provisions will be from me. You'll be like a baby on mother's breast. And everything the mother eats, the child eats. Everything God is, you eat. Anybody want to take a little foot race? I'll wait on you. Read it in Genesis. Look over there in Genesis 16. Genesis 16. I feel right peculiar. Sanctifiedly peculiar. In Genesis 16, right quick and let's go on. Notice in that 16th chapter of Genesis, in the 16th verse. Genesis 16 and verse 16. What happened? Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Not Sarah, but Hagar. What happened? Sarah panicked and said, Abram, I'm afraid I can't have a baby. I'm past age. And I guess God meant for you to go in unto Hagar, the Egyptian. And Abraham quit walking beside, by faith, and started walking beside. He listened to Sarah, went in unto Hagar, and Ishmael was born. And then look at the next chapter, chapter 17, verse 1. There's 13 years between those two verses. 13 years. Why? Because Abraham disobeyed God when he quit walking by faith, started walking beside, and God pulled the shade down and said, Abraham, let's see how you get along walking beside. We have no record of Abraham for 13 years. He stumbled around, staggered around, wore himself out, liked to die. 13 years later, in the first verse, God came to him again. And he said, Abraham, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Grace, the camels come back to old Abraham. Now, it never did leave him. It just let him wander out there till he got so hungry for God's grace, he liked to die. And he said, from today on, Abram, I'll be the breasted one to you. And look at this, and it was closed. Another thing about the camel, not only does it mean provision, ladies and gentlemen, this may sound strange to you, but the word camel means cavalry or military. You see, grace is the thing that keeps us, and by the grace of God we overcome. So it has a military definition to it. We overcome by the grace of God. And then there's others. We find that the word grace means to deal bountifully. Bountifully. Some folks are still coming to the well of salvation with an eyedropper. I tried that when I was first saved, and some folks got a hold of me and said, son, if you don't settle down, they'll think you're a fanatic. You never will get a big church. I thought, well, who wants a stomach full of ulcers? I'd rather get out here and preach in the streets and the fields and shout and praise God. And so the Lord led me down to the river. And he said, son, here's the river. You can read it in Ezekiel. He said, it starts over here, and it's ankle deep. And he said, if you'll keep going, it'll get up to your thighs. And then he said, keep on going. It'll get to your knees and then up to your thighs. He said, keep going, son, and it'll come up to your waist. Then he said, it'll be waters to swim in. And if you go back and study that, there's so many furlongs between each one. And the best you can figure it, if you'll figure on it, it's 3.5 miles to the middle of the river. And remember, every river's got two sides, so there's 3.5 miles on the other side. That's 7 miles to get to where the river flows. And then he said, it's waters to swim in. And he didn't say how wide the river was. So it speaks of the eternalness of Christ's grace. And then he said, waters to swim in. Why did he say to swim? Because when you swim, what do you see of a man? His head. If he's a good swimmer, you'll just see his head.
Yeah.
Why did God say in Corinthians for men to pray with their heads uncovered?
Yeah.
Why? Well, what is the head of man? Christ is your head. And God said, don't you have anything on your head. Have nothing between you and Christ. That's what he's talking about. Now look here. And the word camel means reward. It means ripen. Means ripen. You say, preacher, if I had one right now, I'd ride him home. I'm going to let you go. The word camel means ripen. What cured Rebecca from homesickness? That camel. The first night out, she was afraid. But that little nurse came, rubbed in the healing balm. Took care of the saddle soreness. The next day out. And each day she went farther. And when she became alarmed and frightened at night, Elijah would sit by the fire in the desert and tell her about Isaac. She got so homesick for Isaac, she didn't want to go back home. Finally she said, I'd rather go on as to turn back. And children, there comes a place in the Christian life. We're too near home to turn back. Too near home to turn back now. Aren't you glad? Amen. Praise the Lord. And let me give you one last verse. Look in Genesis. If the Lord, he'll have help me say. He sure will. I feel God. Genesis 24. And look in verse 59. Verse 59. Praise the Lord. Eliezer's come home now with the bride. Say that I'm glad. Jesus come, my cup's overrun. Say that I'm glad. Praise God, I feel nice. Praise the Lord. Look here, they're coming home now. And this is the last Part of the journey. Verse 59. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister. You say, what about the rest of the family? That's the Jews. They're not coming yet. Church coming first. You feel a heavenly tug, brethren? I wish some of you preachers take a sanctified fit and run out there. Praise God. Look here. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed, singular, that's Jesus, possess the gate of those which hate them. Matthew 16:18 says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That seed is Christ. Let me tell you a little secret. God said that seed's in you too. See, the seed of the first Adam damned me. But the seed which is the second Adam, the Lord from glory saved me. Now look here. They sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. All right, I want you to look at that verse. If you're making notes, number one. And they sent away Rebekah. Rebekah is a type of the church. All right? We're going in the rapture. Number two. Until the rapture, until we're called, number two, and her nurse. Now, children, what does the Bible say? What is her nurse? It's this blessed old authorized version. This is the nurse. David said, this is my comfort. In my affliction, thy word hath what? Quickened me. Thy word is my nurse. Thy word is my doctor. Thy word is my healer. Thy word is my nurse. Thy word, thy word, thy word. All right. Now look, there's something else. Glory to God. And Abraham's servant. Now that's Elijah, that's the Holy Ghost. Now what went with the church? There's the church, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost, and His men. Who are the men? That's the angels of God. God said the angels of the Lord encampeth round about that man. See, not only has grace saved us, not only does grace keep us, not only does grace carry us through, He sent His nurse to heal me. I'll tell you, you won't go long without somebody hit you up the side of the spiritual head, and you'll need a nurse. But our nurse travels with us. We don't have to go hunt her up. We don't have to get in an ambulance. The Holy Ghost is the ambulance. I mean, He just takes me along. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then the angels of the Lord. Did you know this tent's full of angels? Now, if you love your wife, you might say you're married to her. That's good. Just keep it that way. 40 years from now, I hope it's still that way and not the old battle axe. But this tent is full of angels. You say, why? Because when God saved you, there's anywhere from 2 to 1 legion or more of angels with every believer. You say, well, I mean right now. These angels in this pulpit. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. This book was written for believers. You unbelievers going to hell. Listen. The angels of God are with the saints. When you go home and go to bed tonight, listen, the angels of God stands by your bed. You say, don't they get tired? No, they're eternal. They don't get tired. They say, what do they do? Well, they're your representatives. They look up to the Father and say, Father, He's sleeping good. He's in. Oh, you got angels. They're with you all the time. Praise the Lord. God did say it. He did say it, David. Glory to God. Angels encamped around about me. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, angels. Every time you sleep, God look down and He sees you in that bed. He's got your guardian angel there. God will say, that angel, say, Father, this little mother She's worked hard today. She's tired. She's worn out. The children's worried her. She's worked hard. She's a good wife. She tries to help her husband. God, she's a little bit restless. She's just a little bit restless. Oh, Lord, I believe I'll just rock the bed, let her sleep in the arms of Jesus. Oh, praise God. It's real. You better believe. Praise God. It's real. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, it's real. Yeah. The angels. The angels are here now. You say, preacher, they make you act that away? I'm enjoying it. I really am. Praise the Lord. Oh, say, but I'm glad.